What we're going to do to complement talking about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 is something that's a little bit more holiday-based, because 4th of July is right around the corner. So, and we actually haven't done one of these in a little while, so I figure let's bring it back. And you know what I'm talking about, folks. I'm talking about the Macros game.
Nick's doing his own song.
Oh, it'll be underneath. I'm mimicking it a little bit, though. All right, so we are doing a 4th of July themed macros game. So I...
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. I got to tell you guys something, a little bit of a secret. Actually, it's not a secret because we say it each week, but I really encourage you guys to check out addictedtofitnesspodcast.com because there's our weekly show notes. They're so good, mainly because the lovely Shannon takes care of them on a regular basis. But last week's show notes I thought were exceptionally done.
Oh, why, thank you.
Or exceptionally well done, I guess I should say, right? So those are, it's great because you guys obviously, you know, if you're listening to the episodes, you already kind of get a little bit of a, you get the introduction to all the topics, but we always usually say, you know, we refer to some sort of study or graph or whatever, and that goes up on the show notes. So when we say check out the show notes at addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, we really mean it because it's worth it. Trust me.
I know. I feel like you might actually miss that we cover a decent amount of content in these episodes, and you can actually see that in the show notes, whereas you might just gloss over it during listening to one of our episodes.
Exactly. If you want to investigate one of these topics a little bit more, go to that website and check it out. And while you're at the website, you should also check out our shop page. We've got a couple, ATF has got some affiliates that help support the podcast, Stick Mobility being one. A training modality that I'm huge about. You guys heard our episode with one of the co-founders a few episodes back. So I'm a big believer and lover of that. So if you guys are interested in maybe purchasing some sticks, you can click on the banner there. Also, Amazon.com. Not sure if you've heard of it.
It's a little website.
It's just a little website if you guys like.
You might stumble across it.
Yeah, if you like online shopping, we've got banners there for you guys to click through our website and then help support the podcast. And then also, in addition, you'll see some products on Amazon that we believe in, some ATF-approved products.
Yes, so things that you've probably heard us talk about on multiple occasions, the ones that we've tried and tested, we put up on our shop page and make it easily accessible for you to be able to go and check it out and possibly try it yourself.
Yeah, I think maybe in the future we'll start doing like a little spotlights about which one, like an ATF product that we think that's up on the page. I know our Great Lakes collagen. Collagen.
It's freaking awesome.
Hydrolyzed collagen, excuse me, is up on there, which is awesome. Something that's really, as Shannon said, awesome. Not just only as a source of protein, but collagen, as you guys would heard if you're longtime listeners of the podcast, is what helped Shannon regain her flowy locks.
My hair.
Yeah.
It saved my hair.
Exactly. So it has a lot of benefits that not just, you know, protein or anything like that. So that's one of the products that we call ATF approved. So check out the website and check out our shop page. Also, please, ATF, give it a rating and review in iTunes. You know, we really appreciate it. It helps us spread the word to other people who are looking for helpful health and fitness information. All right, quick training recap, because we got a lot of information we want to really get into. Only thing for a training recap is kind of hit on the stick mobility thing. I'm starting to do some, instructional stick mobility videos. Right now, you guys, if you go to the ET Tampa Instagram, you can see a few examples of those. But I'm also going to try to start building out an online library for basically making a catalog, of an exercise catalog for the stick mobility. So if you're interested in buying your stick but you need some sort of instructional videos, I will have that there for you.
You need to learn how to use your stick.
Yeah, yeah. What? Why are you laughing? I don't get it. So that was my little mini training recap. Now I'll throw it over to the lovely Shannon for her training recap.
Yes. So this week I decided to stop feeling sorry for myself because, as you probably heard last week, I sounded quite husky, like voice-wise. And I think I sound pretty normal now.
Yeah.
To be honest.
You got your voice back.
I'm not nearly as scary sounding.
Right.
But I was feeling really sorry for myself last weekend, and I basically rallied and just said, done with it.
Yeah.
And I was able to get up a few times this week and actually do some nice yoga, some of which was a little more intense than others. I even did some inversions for the first time in a long time. Oh. Felt really good. I'm a handstand. Headstand. I'm not a handstand person yet. I got some work to do before I get there. But I can do a headstand.
Oh, nice.
Like a tripod kind of headstand.
Yeah.
So I've always been able to do that. I just haven't nailed the handstand yet.
That's right.
So that'll be something I'm working towards. But it was something, and it was just so freaking great just to move my body. Especially after being sick. I'm sure anybody who's been sick can attest. You just feel so blocked on all fronts after you're done being sick. So I actually feel very good now. And hopefully, I was hoping to get in a little spin action this weekend.
Oh.
So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
And I'll update you next week.
Boom. Nice. Very impressive. Glad to hear it. All right, so now one of the main topics we want to jump into today is something we've actually talked about on the podcast before. It's actually, I guess you could say it's an annual thing we talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
It is the EWE, one more time. It is the EWG, which is Environmental Working Groups, Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. All right. So basically those are lists they compiled of basically the Dirty Dozen is 12 produce items that contain the most pesticides once obviously as sold in the grocery store, and these are conventionally raised produce items, so they obviously their main thing is, you know, if you go organic you get a little better options of kind of avoiding these issues avoiding these pesticides. And there's actually a couple studies on there through the EWG website that shows the amount of the I guess the reduction in exposure to pesticides you would get when you go organic, especially for these items right here. So we're going to give both the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So they actually do both. They do the ones with the most conventionally raised produce with the most pesticides, and then conventionally raised produce with the least amount of pesticides that you can actually get away with buying with, you know, without going organic. So if you chose, because, you know, obviously some people want to go all organic. Some people want to save a little cash because sometimes organic can get a little pricey. And that you should do, if you want to do that, go off the Clean 15 for sure. All right, so we're going to count it down. We're not going to count it down. We're going to count up. We're going to go from the number 12 on the Dirty Dozen to number 1. Okay, and we're going to try to roll through these pretty quick. Okay? Well, I guess we don't have to roll through them pretty quick, do we? Why not? We'll talk about it. Because EWGguys.org, it's a great website. It has a lot of information on there, including the Dirty Dozen into Clean 15. So if you guys want to go there, this is where we're grabbing our information from. But it will be on the show notes. Okay? So number 12 is Sweet Bell Peppers. We do the mini peppers. I don't know if that falls in that category or not.
I would say they're probably both in that category.
Yeah, because they are the sweet. So they say almost 90% of the conventionally raised sweet bell pepper samples contained pesticide residues. Sweet bell peppers can contain fewer pesticide residues than the other Dirty Dozen foods, but the pesticides tend to be more toxic to human health.
Ugh.
That's a little bit scary.
That's a downer for people who love peppers.
All right.
Am I doing number 11?
You are doing number 11.
What's the thing? Potato, potato?
Yeah.
Is it potatoes?
Yep. I'm pretty sure it's still one of the most, I think it might be the most consumed quote unquote vegetable there is. You know, it's on the produce aisle, so
it's in the produce section. Yeah, exactly. So it's what most people think of as a vegetable.
Conventional potatoes have more had more pesticide residues by weight than any other crop. That is really scary. So number 10 is celery. I remember this from last year's list. More than 95% of conventionally raised celery samples tested positive for pesticide. A maximum of 13 pesticides were detected on a sample of conventionally raised celery.
So hey, all you juicers, because celery is super popular if you're a juicer. And ants on a log.
You literally took the words out of my mouth.
That's something to keep in mind before you definitely. Put those little ants on there.
And luckily, the organic celery is not a huge difference than the conventional guys. We've bought it before, too. I go through little stints where I like going celery and peanut butter. So, but number 9, throw it to you.
Is tomatoes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which, I mean, unless you don't like tomatoes, it's kind of hard to stay away from them, to be honest. So that's just a tough one.
Yeah, nearly 4 pesticides were detected on the average conventionally grown tomato. Number 8 is pears. Pears contain several pesticides in relatively high concentration, including insecticides and fungicides.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But that's a very, I don't want to say it's, I guess you can get them any time of year now, but the best,
they're
there are
seasonal. They're supposed to be seasonal. Yeah. They're supposed to be a winter fruit.
But yeah, go organic, guys. Trust us. Number 7.
Cherries. This is a summer seasonal item.
Yeah, I think this time of year, right?
It is. They're just starting to pop out. I saw some at the grocery store today, actually.
30% of cherry samples contain ipromidine.
I don't even know what that is.
Ipromidine, a pesticide not allowed in Europe, which may cause cancer.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy. All right, so we'll scroll up a little bit. Sorry, gotta scroll.
Scrolling.
Number 6.
Ooh, peaches.
Yeah.
This is possibly... I feel like they have a really short season, too. But I'd say next to, like, the berry family, peaches are probably my favorite.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's technically a stone fruit, which is the category, which it's very... As far as, like, low glycemic fruits, I'm pretty sure berries and stone fruit are really kind of the way to go.
They're amazing.
More than 99% of conventionally raised peaches had detectable pesticide residues.
Sheesh.
Number 5, grapes. Boom, boom, boom. Grapes contain an average of 5 pesticide residues.
Little tiny grape packs a wallop.
I'm a fan of grapes. I never really drank them. I guess you can drink grapes.
Have you had those cotton candy ones?
No, I haven't.
They are... like scary sweet.
I don't need it.
You're like, no, I don't believe in it.
No, like I just got introduced to grapes recently. I obviously have known of grapes, duh.
I'm like,
but
what?
I never knew of grapes. No, what are these crazy things? I just I don't know. Maybe you bought them or something, and then some, and I just started munching on them. Very good. Anyways, you know, that was a little editorial soliloquy.
Number 4, I'd say, is probably one of your favorites.
Yeah, for sure.
You get this almost all year round.
Right. Yeah, but we do buy organic.
Yes, we do. This is one of those items. And we'll basically sum it all up for you at the end into how we buy our foods. But number 3 is nectarines.
Sorry, I don't think we paid off number 4. Number 4 is apples. I don't think we actually said it.
We did?
No. Number 4 is apples.
Apples.
Yeah. So this is 90% of conventional raised apples had detectable pesticide residues.
Really?
All right, sorry. So number 3, what were you saying? What was number 3?
Nectarines.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so one sample of a conventionally grown nectarines contained residues of 15 different pesticides. Yikes. Yeah, this I love EWG, but they obviously... I'm editorializing, so we'll just keep giving you guys the information they have. All right, so number 2 is another one that I mean, we eat the hell out of this spinach
every day.
But we do buy, I think we've been buying organic for a long time. I can't remember the last conventionally raised spinach we bought. 97% of conventionally raised spinach samples contained pesticide residues.
Popeye, I wonder if he went organic.
Oh, yeah, because he had canned stuff, too.
Yeah.
Conventionally raised spinach had relatively high concentrations of permethrin, a neurotoxic insecticide. I don't know. Permethrin, I actually bought permethrin one time because apparently it's also, like, they can put it in bug spray. Like, you can buy this type of for bug sprays. It's actually good at basically, I don't know if warding off is the right word or...
repelling?
Thank you. Wow. Repelling ticks. A lot of, if anybody like deep wood hunters or hikers, they sell this for them. So that's tells you how legit it is. I remember the directions on the bottle is that you had to apply it to the clothing only outside, and then you had to let it dry before you could move it. So
that's a sign that that's serious stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it was mostly to, obvious being in Florida, avoid any ticks or mosquitoes, which is a good thing. But, you know, you got to make sure it's you treat it very carefully. Number one, another one we buy all the time, and it's been number one on the list, I think, every year that we've done this list on the podcast. It's
strawberries.
Yeah, sad to say it.
Makes you think, though, all the things that strawberries are in, like strawberry jam.
Yep.
One of the best jams there is.
True.
It's my jam.
Mm-hmm. It's literally
your jam. Literally my jam. But yeah, I mean, that's a big one.
Buy organic, folks. Organic strawberries are becoming more popular. I think we've talked about it before. We're pretty lucky here in Florida. The Wish Farms has expanded their organic strawberry crop, and I know it's big in California also.
Yeah, I believe we're currently getting our strawberries from California is where they're currently in season. Mm-hmm. And New England should be coming up on their season too soon.
Quick strawberry facts. I almost said fracks. One strawberry sample contained an outstanding 22 pesticide residues.
Sheesh.
One third of all conventionally raised strawberry samples contain 10 or more pesticides. So, and obviously there is still lots of information coming out about the effect of pesticides on humans. The real big thing, especially, is its effect on basically children and or developing fetuses.
And that it was one of the main reasons that this latest one piqued my interest, because I came across an article that, I mean, like, shook me to my core. I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought about this before. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Why do pesticides matter for kids? Like, you think it's just like you. So you're like, oh, well, you know, if they have that apple, it's got pesticides on it, it's okay, you know. Yeah. But no, it's actually way worse.
Right.
So you've got the article pulled up. I'll let you get into the details.
Yes. I mean, obviously, this is an EWG article, and they reference other studies about how, obviously children, they eat more, and rightly so, depending on, like, if parents giving them puree or whole foods, they eat more fruits and vegetables relative to their body weight than we do.
They're just smaller. Like, right. The basic science is... Mm-hmm. They're smaller, but they're consuming as much of that pesticide as we as adults would.
Mm-hmm.
So the concentration is going to be way higher for their little systems.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. And then there's other studies that have been done to document the effect of pesticides on especially farming cultures or communities that are within, you know, agricultural communities. And one was specifically in California done in the title or the acronym for the study is CHAMACOS. And it's supposed to be like an acronym for like little children in Spanish, but I can't. Chicamacos? I don't know. But either way, sorry. But they documented kids over, I think it was over a 13-year study. They were gathering data on children and up to 9-year-olds. So I think they've done it for at least 13 years. I think it started in 19... sorry, I'm just kind of scaling through this, but obviously they found effects of people who lived in these farming communities, and then women who were pregnant and exposure had higher exposure to pesticides, and there was higher instances of things like autism related conditions like Asperger's, pervasive development disorder, lower IQ, things to, you know, it just everything that affect brain development in young children was they found links to these communities that had a higher pesticide exposure. So it's really becoming evident that especially for young kids, and another thing, not only with their small size, but also their immune system hasn't built up yet.
Yeah.
So they can't fight off these toxins like we normally can or we can.
We have years of experience.
Yeah, and adult bodies are a little bit more efficient at getting rid of toxins. And obviously younger children and babies are still developing that system. So that's a reason why it's much more detrimental to them. So we'll put up a link for this one specifically about the study that's been going on. I'm trying to get a little bit more details for you guys. I know it's right here. So they said, it's the Salinas Valley in California, more than 800 children, 536 followed since birth, 300 followed since age 9. And this started, and they've been following these families for 19 years. So this is a pretty extensive study. This word means little children in Mexican Spanish, which reflects the population that they derived this study from. How would you say this, babe? Chamacos? Chamacamos?
Chamacos.
Chamacos. Okay, so that's the study. I believe it's from UC Berkeley. Yeah. So we will definitely put a link on this and finding some of the resort. Basically, as we kind of summed up, though, it's... babies and i.e. young children have much more time or harder time fighting against these pesticides, and it lead to things like lower IQ and development issues and possibly even disorders like Alzheimer's, goodness, Asperger's, excuse me, okay? All right, so now, something way you can avoid that and also get that produce is buy from the Clean 15. So the Clean 15, blah, 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 we're going to run through these, is number 15, broccoli. And I thought that was interesting because we've been buying organic broccoli lately, and they said broccoli on number 15.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that broccoli can have a lot of pesticides, which is why I just buy.
Only 1 in 10 broccoli samples contain more than one pesticide residue. All right, number 14.
Also makes sense. Cauliflower.
Yep, very closely related cousin, both in the cruciferous
family. I feel like they're siblings almost.
Yes.
You know?
About half of all conventionally grown cauliflower samples contain no detectable pesticide residues. Number 13.
How many ways you're going to say pesticides at the end of this?
One of my personal favorites, and I think Ella's a fan too, but it's still for open for debate, yeah. What you like to call the foot melon, cantaloupes.
Yes.
More than 60% of the conventionally raised cantaloupe samples contain no detectable pesticide residues. That is a good sign. Number 12, one that we used to put in our juices. We haven't really gotten in a while, though.
I know. They make my mouth feel funny. I know that sounds really strange, but they make my mouth feel like tingly fuzzy. I don't know, I might have like a mild allergy, but kiwis, little kiwis.
Only 6 different pesticides were detected on any of the conventionally grown kiwis tested. Number 11, honeydew melons, very close related to the cantaloupe. We're going to run through these a little faster. Number 10,
eggplants Ooh. Or aubergines. If you're British.
Oh, you got a fancy name for them. I get it. Number 9, mangoes. Very tasty, but one of the most inefficient fruits there is. I'm just going to say it right
now. Super true.
The seed is 2/3 of the whole dang fruit.
And it holds on. It's not like a pit that like comes out. It like holds on to all of the flesh around it.
There's no good way to cut it.
You just can't win with
them. There's no good way to cut it. Anyways, number 8, asparagus.
Asparagus.
Yep.
7, papaya.
Papaya.
Hola, papaya.
All right, number 9. Oh, and I'm going the wrong direction. Number 6, sweet peas frozen. Another one I know your favorite. One of your favorites for sure, babe.
Sweet peas?
Yep. Frozen ones. You like fresh ones or frozen? We get both.
That's true.
Anyways, number 5.
I like them. Onions.
Oh, yeah. Part of the allium family.
Definitely one of my faves.
Mm-hmm. Allium family contains also onions, garlic, and shallots, which have some cancer-fighting chemicals in there, sulfur-containing chemicals, allium being one of them. So, number 4, cabbages.
I had some of that for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. You had cabbage for breakfast?
Yes.
Oh, how about that? All right, only 2 or more than 700 cabbage samples contain more than one pesticide. That's pretty good. Number 3... Another one of our favorites. We don't buy enough. I feel like we got to get one of those next
time. Pineapple.
It's pineapple. Pineapple pen. Pineapple?
I have an apple. I have a pen.
Pineapples are delicious.
Yeah. We're just going to summarize. Pineapples are the bomb. Actually, frozen pineapples. It's my favorite way to do it. Remember, you can turn them into ice cream.
Oh, I'm mad at that. Number 2, sweet corn. That's a good thing. It's that time of year for corn, too. Summertime.
Yeah.
Less than 2% of sweet corn samples had any detectable pesticide residues. And,
ask, how excited are you about number 1?
I think this is new, though. I don't remember this being, I know it was on the list last year, but I don't think it was number 1 last year.
Yeah, I don't remember what was number 1.
I don't remember either. I have to look back. You guys will have to tell you which episode, the old last year's episode.
Yeah, we'll direct that in the show notes.
Uh-huh.
But it is avocados.
Hells to the yeah.
Only guacamole.
I wonder if that's because they grow on a tree. I wonder if they're less susceptible to insects. Well, I mean, definitely not less susceptible to insects, but the fact that they're not closer to the ground.
They have a thicker skin, too.
That's true.
Because, I mean, like, peaches grow on trees, and they are the opposite.
Touche. Touche, my love. All right, so, boom. That was a clean 15, and we just went over the Dirty Dozen. So, like we said, focus on buying from both of those, or buying from the Clean 15 and not buying, or buying organic from anything that's on the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, and something to keep in mind is, like, if it has a thicker skin, like a banana, for example, don't really, like, if you can't afford organic everything, don't worry about organic when you're going to peel that skin off. So, like, I mean, even though avocados are on the clean list, you take the skin off of those. Whereas anything that you're actually consuming the skin, I mean, that outer shell is going to be where a large chunk of pesticides are just sitting. So just it's kind of like that's sort of our friendly rule. And if I can't get organic something, but I know I really, it's like a staple in our diet, like summer squash right now, I wish it was easier to find organic summer squash, but it's not. I can find organic zucchini. So I just, like, make sure I take the skin off, and I really soak them. Just try to get off whatever I can. I know that it doesn't do everything.
But luckily, they're not on the Dirty Dozen list. Thank goodness.
True.
Okay,
yeah.
So what we're going to do to complement talking about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 is something that's a little bit more holiday-based, because 4th of July is right around the corner. So, and we actually haven't done one of these in a little while, so I figure let's bring it back. And you know what I'm talking about, folks. I'm talking about the macros game.
Nick's doing his own song.
Oh, it'll be underneath. I'm mimicking it a little bit, though. All right, so we are doing a 4th of July themed macros game. So I figured, what kind of says 4th of July?
Colors.
Which colors?
Red, white, and blue.
There we go. Red, white, and blue, of course. So, we are going to each pick a red food, a white food, and a blue food. And then we are going to ask each other about the macros in those foods. So if you haven't heard the macros game before, quick little example of how it goes. Make sure I'll ask Shannon. Apple, is that one of yours?
No.
Okay, so say one medium-sized apple contains 16 grams of what macronutrient?
And then I would guess between fat, carb, or protein.
Correct.
So those would be the options. And then I have to figure, so I would say carb.
Carb, okay. And I say yes, even though I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, just an example. It's an example.
Don't quote us on that one, okay? So that's how it's going to go, all right? So we're just going to do three each. And then if we have a tie at the end, I have a tiebreaker, okay? Oh. Ba-ba-da-bum. Do you want to ask first or receive?
You can go first. You can ask first.
I can ask first? Okay, so my first food is my red food. And you know me, I'm a red-blooded American. I don't know what that means. Anyways, so I'm going to do red meat. How about that?
So is this like hamburger or steak?
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay. This is ground beef, grass-fed, of course. Because it's better for you. Anyways, so we are going to do, this is going to be 4 ounces. So this is basically like a quarter pounder burger, okay?
Like a fist size.
Like a quarter pound burger. All right. It is going to be, 4 ounces of grass-fed ground beef contains, I got to do math here for a second. Hold on.
This could take a while, folks. No, just kidding. He's really smart. He's breaking out his calculator.
So much. Okay. So I'm going to round up a little bit. So 4 ounce ground beef burger contains 14 grams of this macronutrient.
Oh, 4 ounces. Okay, so
take about a quarter pound burger.
I'm thinking. So I'm not going to say carbs.
Okay.
Because this is a protein.
All right.
So I'm expecting it to be high in protein, and I am expecting it to have some fat.
Yeah, you can imagine this is probably like, it doesn't say.
Doesn't give me a percentage. You know, we're going to guess it's whole.
Yeah, it might be like an 80-20 or whatever mix.
I'm going to say protein. I still think the fat would be less.
Well, I'm sorry, but you were wrong.
That's
fat? That was fat. Protein was going to be...
Is it in the 20s?
Yes.
Yeah.
21.5. So, close.
But no cigar.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that was mine. You're 0 for 1 right now. But it's all right. You still got time to make it up. Your red food for moi.
So, my red food is going to be... I have it in two different versions, so I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to do here.
Two different versions?
It was actually surprisingly hard to find red, white, and blue foods. I, like, really struggled with this, but we're just going to go with it. We're going to do, rhubarb.
Rhubarb, okay.
I was going to give you rhubarb pie, but I feel like we're going straight. We're going pure.
Yeah.
Straight rhubarb.
All right.
Which, who here really likes rhubarb? I actually really like rhubarb in a pie, but pretty much that's it. It's too, like, sour for me otherwise.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever eaten it outside of a pie. Maybe at some sort of fancy-dancy restaurant, but...
Fancy-dancy restaurant.
All right. Give me some stats here, some numbers.
So, 1 cup of diced rhubarb has about 1 gram of this.
Man. You are... 1 gram. I'm going to rule out carbs, because rhubarb is a leafy vegetable? Is it like dark leafy green?
It's not a green. It's red.
I know. Okay, sorry, but it's obviously.
It's actually. I think I read that it's like an herbaceous plant, so it's actually an herb, considered an herb.
Okay, so.
But it's the thick stalk that you typically eat.
Yes. So, I'm going. Not going to be carb. Okay? I want to say there's probably going to be more protein because sometimes it can be sneaky protein, and I feel like rhubarb has been used by vegans sometimes. So I'm going to go fat.
You're going to go fat.
Yep.
Okay. So you're wrong.
Damn you.
It's like almost nothing in fat. It's 0.2 grams of fat. It's actually over 1.1 gram of protein and 6 grams of carbs.
How dare you. All right. Well, so we're both 0 for 1. That's not good. All right. So
this is a terrible start.
My white food, and this one's not, it's not getting any easier, I'll tell you that right now. So, oh, crap. I just deleted my blue food. Anyways, so this one was actually, I ate a lot, you know, coming from, a little bit of a slightly Mexican background in my family. So we had this one quite frequently, and it is jicama.
Jicama.
I don't know if anybody's unfamiliar with jicama, but it's essentially...
Is it considered a vegetable or a starch?
It is a...
Vegetable. Or I mean, like, is it a starch? Like, is it closer to a potato, or is
it's in a tuberous root family, so it's probably closer to a potato. It's like an apple and a potato had a baby. That's the best way I can describe it.
It's a very good description.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to give you one cup of sliced... jicama. I almost forgot what we were talking about for a second there.
You're like,
So inside is white, guys. That's why this is white. The outside, it's like a brownish skin, but when you take the skin off, it's white inside, okay? So that's my white food. All right, so one cup. Boom. Give me the... My thing, this is... There we go, sorry. All right, one cup... contains 1 gram of what macronutrient?
Oh, man. So it's either going to be fat or protein because plants have carbs. And if it's a tuberous, I would expect it to have more carbs. I think potatoes are, like, really low in fat. Like, tuberous vegetables are really low in fat. So I'm going to say protein.
Protein, final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Hey-o.
Somebody got it. Somebody's been checking the jicama labels at the grocery store. Anyways.
Trader Joe's actually sells them in stick form.
Oh, do
in
they?
A container. And I've gotten them before.
I think that'd be a good one for Ella. I think she would like that.
I think she needs to get more teeth.
Yeah. They're kind of soft. Mm-hmm. All right. So you got one. Apple. You're one for two. White food.
All right. So this one is, I feel like, a favorite of many.
Mm-hmm.
It's blue cheese dressing.
So this is the white food or the blue food?
Oh, wait. Are we doing white or blue?
White. Red, white, and blue.
Oh, well, I guess this is technically both. All right.
Did you already have another white food?
I did have a white food.
Okay. Give me the white food that you originally
And then we'll go back to blue cheese.
Okay. Forget that you heard that, guys. Forget it.
Okay. Potato salad.
Potato salad is my white food? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good.
I was trying to think of like a barbecue. Okay. White food.
You're right. Let's
There's
go.
There's more white food, actually, than red or blue combined.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, we're going to go with potato salad. So, in one cup of potato salad, there are 12 grams of this macro treat.
One cup. Throwing carbs out, which we've been doing a lot. I mean, it's got mayo. So I feel like it's got to be, one cup's got to be more than that. It's going to be more than 12. You said 12 grams?
12 grams.
I feel like it's going to be more fat than that because it's got mayo.
And it has eggs.
It's also got eggs in it?
Yes.
But then that means it probably has protein. I'm going protein.
That's your final answer?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you're not right.
Wow. What's it? What is it?
Carbs.
12 grams of carbs?
Yeah.
And a cup of potato salad. Wow, I'm doing pretty terrible. So if you get this, you pretty much win the game. And I don't even, you don't even have to ask me your blue food. All right, so. Do-do-do-do. 50 grams of blue corn tortilla chips for my blue chips, which is 12 chips approximately. 50 grams is 12 trips. Contains 12 grams of what macronutrient? We're sticking with this 12 gram thing.
12 grams.
These are blue corn tortilla chips.
12
approximately
grams.
12 chips. 12 chips contains 12 grams of this.
I don't think it's fat. So I'm going to rule out fat.
Okay.
I don't think it's protein. Because I don't know that corn has a whole lot of protein. And I'm going to go with carbs.
Incorrect.
Really?
Yeah, so I got a chance. Actually, 12 grams of fat. Because remember, it's really? Chips. So they're also either cooked in some sort of fat. Either baked or fried.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I was thinking just the corn.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah, yep, 4 grams of protein in 12 chips and 34 grams of carbs.
34?
Yes. Wow. All right, you ready to ask me the blue food? This could actually, even though I have zero, right? You have one, so I need to get this right to go to the tiebreaker.
Yes. So, blue cheese dressing.
Okay, yes, we were introduced to that.
I know it's white, but okay. It's blue cheese.
Gotcha.
It's really nothing blue out there,
one of
naturally.
My favorites.
It has, and I'm going to round.
Okay.
So, it has 1 gram of this macronutrient in a tablespoon.
I need this to stay alive. 1 gram and a tablespoon. Man, you do not go big serving sizes. 1 gram.
I mean, all right, in 2 tablespoons, there's 2 grams of this.
How dare you? I'm going to rule out fat because cheese is definitely going to be higher in fat. So at least protein and carbs. Dressing, that's an issue. But cheese just has more protein. I'm going carbs.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are correct.
Oh my gosh, I did it. You I brought it back.
You brought We're it
going
back.
On the tiebreaker. And you guys know what the tiebreaker is. No, you don't, because I haven't told you yet. But what is more, what's the most American food out there?
Well, now I feel like we're setting ourselves up.
Just what is it? You take a guess. Take a guess. Take
American, all American, talk American pie, apple pie.
There we go. Even though I think I looked on CNN as the most American foods, and it was like hot dogs, I think, was up there, and like Reuben sandwich. It was like, what are these people talking about? Anyway, so what we do for the tiebreaker, if you haven't listened before, I went on Google, I got Google in front of me, and I'm going to just type in apple pie nutrition, and then we are going to guess, what macronutrients should we guess?
Let's guess something really difficult and do protein.
Protein? Okay, so the protein for one slice, we'll do one slice of apple pie, okay? I'm going to write, my guess for the protein is going to be 3 grams. Your guess?
I feel like I have to make it, like, significantly different.
You don't. You guys have to be closer to the actual value.
I'm going to say...
You can undercut me. You could do presses, right? You could do $1, Bob. Or 2.5 grams.
I was going to say 2.
Yeah. Oh, 2 grams. Wow. All right. So now we're just going to go to the Google box. Boom. Let me say apple pie nutrition. Well, that's not how you spell that. Boom. There you go. Apple pie
nutrition.
All right. So we've got, don't look at it. Don't you look. Don't look. Don't look. Shish, shish. We're going to go one piece, which is 1/6 of an 8-inch diameter pie, contains 13 grams of fat, 40 grams of carbs, and 2.2 grams of protein. What happens if we do it from a 9-inch pie? 2.4, damn, I still lose. So Shannon is the winner of this one, of the 4th of July edition macros game.
Yes, I'm doing a victory lap right now. Yeah.
Nice. You definitely Price is Righted me. So congratulations. All right, guys, that is our episode for today. We really appreciate you guys listening and all those ratings and reviews and comments you leave on our Facebook page. We really love it. And if you haven't done so already, you can find out how to get to our Facebook page by going to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. All of our information is on there, the show notes, the shop page, our social contacts, and even our email if you want to do a little drop us a line, all right?
Yeah, which we do like. And please do leave us a review in the either iTunes or the Apple Podcasts app, because you will get a chance to have your review read on a future episode.
Yep, you get a shout out for sure, guys. So keep doing what you're doing. Share the podcast. One more time. Share the podcast with a friend, because that helps us spread the good word of fitness, guys. All right, you got anything else for them this week?
No, sir.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.
Jasmine.